Our subject this morning is the choice of faith, And we're coming to our last in the series on the life of Moses. This is part number 31 in that series as we finish the life of Moses. I'm a little bit sad to come to the end of the life of Moses because I felt that I've got to know him a little bit as we have journeyed over these past 12 months or so in his life. And I'm actually looking forward to meeting Moses one day and to seeing him in person as we've discovered something about him as he leaps from the pages of Scripture for us. To be able to meet him in person will be a wonderful experience after we've seen the Lord, of course, first and foremost. Let's pray as we look at this subject together. Our Father, we thank you that we can be here today. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for the way you've reached out to us in a mighty expression of your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us through faith in Jesus Christ. Your Son's act of his life, his death and his resurrection has meant that we can now have a life that has meaning, has purpose, a life in relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you. And this morning we pray that you might just reveal yourself afresh to us today. Help us to know how we might live in trust and dependence upon you, that we might live a life of faith as Moses did as he lived his life out here on earth. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Who is your favourite Bible character? It's a hard one, isn't it? When you think about all the different characters of the Bible. This morning in the children's talk we heard a few Bible characters mentioned, some of the kings of Israel. The great thing about Bible characters is that they are real people. They're not some fictional hero who is displayed with great glamour and glory and does everything right and lives a perfect life. No, Bible characters are revealed with their defects as well as their good qualities, their failures as well as their successes, their inadequacies as well as their strengths, their sins as well as their faith in God. And because the Bible reveals the life stories of real people in real situations, we can very often identify with a character of the Bible because we see something of ourselves in their lives and how they responded to situations that they faced. And we can gain some encouragement through seeing how God brought them through the challenges of life and seeing how he can do the same in our lives. We can have confidence that God is true to his word. He's consistent, and the way he dealt with people in the past, he will deal with us and come through for us. And so as we come to the end of our series on Moses, there have been so many times in his life that we could say, yes, I understand how you feel, Moses. Or I can see how I need to trust God more in my life, Moses, just as you did when times were difficult and overwhelming. The general tenor of Moses' life revealed a man who learnt to depend on God. He had his moments, of course, when he took his eyes off the Lord, but the pattern of his life was to keep coming back to God and submitting himself again to God's agenda for his life. We've seen him in his ups and his downs and his anger and his disobedience, but we've seen this man who's returned back to the Lord and humbly come back and acknowledged his need of the Lord and his sin against the Lord. He was a man who was a great servant of the Lord. He was a man who led the Exodus, who witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, who led 2 million people through an inhospitable desert, who lived off heavenly manna for years on end, who followed a pillar of cloud by day and by night a fire. Stephen said of this man, he was mighty in word and deed. He had his weaknesses though, just as we all do, and we have seen some of those. But overall, this man was a man of selfless dedication. He was a man who grew up with so much and yet relinquished that to serve his people. As a young man, Moses had everything going for him. We can't imagine how much pomp and ceremony was associated with being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. The palace where he resided, or the power he had to determine whether someone lived or died. The money that would have passed through his hands into the treasury of the Pharaoh. The exalted status that he would have had as the prince of Egypt. And yet with all this, for the first 40 years of his life, living with great prominence in the land of Egypt, why is it that there is no recognition of Moses in Egypt today? The Egyptians were people who honoured their dead. They made a great fanfare of those who had died, especially the royalty, the pharaohs and their families. We see in Egypt today pyramids, tombs and sphinxes in honour of the dead that are thousands of years old. Amazingly how they've been kept over those years. The Egyptians had a saying, to speak the name of the dead is to make him live again. And yet, there is no sphinx erected in Egypt to Moses' honour. There's no pyramid. There's no temple stone that bears his name. There's no monuments in his memory. Why not? Maybe we find the answer in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 24 to 28. I just want to read those verses to you again. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses turned down the earthly accolades because he knew the heavenly reward was far greater. And this morning I want to just consider for a moment the reason why Moses chose to live a life of faith, chose to live in dependence on God, and how the decisions that he made, the choices of faith that he made, meant that he lived a life of faith. And he did that by three things: by refusing, by choosing, and by infusing. Hopefully that can be something you can remember. So let's look at those for a moment. By refusing the allurement of the path of sin. Verse 24 says to us, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you picture Moses as a young man in the courts of Pharaoh, in the courts of Egypt, a Hebrew on the inside, but an Egyptian on the outside? He would easily pass for the up-and-coming Pharaoh. But when Moses reached adulthood, a major change took place. The phrase in that verse says, when he became of age, or when he had grown up, depending on your translation, that literally means having become great. Having become great. That's even more telling, isn't it? Moses, having become great, made a decision. Think of it this way. Every person, every individual, many times in life comes to a fork in the road. A crucial fork. One road is broad and wide and attractive and has many people pursuing it. The other is narrow, unpopular, and sometimes lonely. The fork requires you to make a decision. And your choice leads to another fork a little bit further down the road. And the decision you make there leads to another fork, and so on. And so Moses came to his first major fork in the road when he had become great. He was forced to make a choice. He had to decide whether he would allow the Egyptians to continue to call him the Pharaoh elect. He had to decide between the seen and the unseen. Decisively, he made that choice. It says here that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It literally means he denied it being said, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a big statement, isn't it? I wonder where that happened. Was it in Pharaoh's court to the Pharaoh, his adopted grandfather? Or did he say it to his adopted mother, Pharaoh's daughter? Or did he tell the servants? We don't know, but wherever and however it happened, we do know that one day he said, "No longer call me your son. I yield my right to the throne. I refuse to be called Pharaoh elect any longer." Doesn't that remind you a little of Daniel, who many years later stood in a royal court in Babylonia and said, "I will not eat the king's food. I will not embrace the king's lifestyle. I am a believer in Yahweh, and to him is my first allegiance. My loyalty belongs to him." Moses had integrity. He came to the fork in the road and made a decision to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What made him do that? What drove him to be so radical and to give up so much that was laid out before him? The whole world lay at his feet of that ancient world. Egypt, the prominent empire in the world. And yet he said, "I am no longer the son of Pharaoh's daughter." The words "choosing" and "esteeming" from verses 25 and 26 give us the insight we need to answer that question. How could Moses, by faith, refuse what he did? By choosing. Choosing to walk with God. Verse 25 says, as he follows on from verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 25 says he made a choice. The word translated choosing means to take for oneself a position. To take for oneself a position. In other words, Moses came to a major fork in the road and he had to take for himself a position before he could go to the right or to the left. Without taking a position, he would have been paralyzed by remaining neutral. Which way do I go? Do I go left or do I go right? But he took a position before he made that decision. And the part of the reason that we do not make right choices is because we have not taken a position for ourselves on the key principles of life. We have not decided where we stand on matters of character, matters of morality, the matter of values, the matter of godliness, the matter of commitment to Christ. And so we can easily drift. We may slide this way and that way. We stall at the fork in the road, not wanting to make a choice, but we have to. And not making a choice is usually making a choice to follow the easy way. Or we make a choice on the basis of our feelings or upon what others think, often to regret it later. Joshua, who was Moses' successor, must have learnt from his mentor's decisiveness, because prior to his death, he stood before the elders of Israel and challenged them to make up their minds about the most crucial issues of life. In Joshua 24, verse 15, we read, and Joshua, speaking to the elders of Israel, says, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua took a stand and made a decision. Elijah, standing alone on the peak of Mount Carmel, said much the same thing to the assembled Israelites. He said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." Moses did not waver between two opinions. He thought through his position, came to a conclusion, and made his choice. What did he choose? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing or the temporary pleasures of sin. Life is full of choices, isn't it? We choose a TV channel to watch. We choose what to look at on the internet. We choose how much time we'll spend looking at Facebook. We choose how to spend our leisure time. We choose a life partner. We choose a career or a job. We choose where to live. We choose our friends. We choose the church that we'll commit ourselves to. We choose whether to live for Christ or to live for self. We face constant and unending choices, some of them life-changing. Moses, having taken a position concerning his walk with the Lord, next made a decision that was neither culturally popular nor materially beneficial. He took off all that identified him with the royal life of an heir to the Pharaoh. He walked away from the inherited privileges that were his as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, giving up all the perks of an opulent lifestyle. And he chose to live with the people of God, the Hebrew people. Don't misunderstand that statement that the Bible makes here about enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin are always more enjoyable than a walk of righteousness at first. Otherwise, sin would never be a temptation if it wasn't appealing. Sin is very attractive, packaged beautifully. It feeds the flesh and it makes you feel good. Don't let anyone tell you that it doesn't. It brings a burst of satisfaction, but very temporarily. It's very short-lived. And then it clothes you in regret and bitterness and guilt. Moses chose a path of godliness rather than the temporary pleasures of sin. How could he do that? What was inside Moses that caused him to make such a choice? Well, we see the answer in the next verse. That he was infusing the way of God, knowing the reward. Verse 26. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." The word infusing is not in the text there, but it rhymes with the previous 2 points. So, but the word that we're looking there is the word esteeming or considering. Esteeming or considering in the beginning of verse 26. The word considering helps us understand Moses' thinking in making this choice. Considering means to think beforehand. To think beforehand. Moses saw ahead and he looked further than the fork in the road. He thought about what could happen if he continued to pursue the life that he was living. Possibly he realized that if I continue to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and if I continue to be the Pharaoh elect, if I continue to gain all this wealth and receive the praise of all these people, I will find myself in such a place where I cannot turn back without damage to the nation and to my soul. Why? Because with such status that Moses faced comes the alluring temptation to compromise on his morals, his character, and his attitude of humility and self-sacrifice. He could see far enough down that road to know that such a life for him would not be good. He could see that it would ultimately erode into a bad lifestyle. With so much opulence, so much wealth, so much availability of any woman he liked, he could see that the path that he was on was not going to lead in the right way for his ultimate good. So Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward, it tells us. The original text suggests that Moses looked away from everything else and fixed his full attention on one thing, the reward that God offers the people of faith. The reward that God offers to the people of faith. Moses looked away from everything else and he fixed his eyes on Christ. That's how he made the right decision. If you dabble in the passing pleasures long enough, you'll lose your focus on Christ. It can happen to any one of us. We're all vulnerable to being attracted and distracted by the passing pleasures of sin. Don't think that you're immune. Many have fallen by the wayside because their focus has been turned from Christ. Marvellously, God in his grace has provided a way back so readily and quickly if we're willing to be restored to fellowship again. Acknowledge your sin, confess it to God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A life of faithfully walking with Jesus Christ means having the desire to refuse the allurement of the path of sin, means to choose daily to walk with God, and it means to infuse the way of God as part of your lifestyle thinking and the decision-making process. And all the time having the assurance that the eternal rewards are far greater than any temporary earthly or fleshly satisfaction that we may receive. As Moses came to the fork in the road, he looked way beyond that fork and he could see what the blessings and the rewards that God would give him for living a life of faith. And that's where we must look as well. If we look very short-sightedly, we look at the earthly benefits, we look at the material return, the temporary pleasures that we might receive, but God calls us to be like Moses and to look to the heavenly rewards, to look to the spiritual blessing that comes through being faithful even through hard times. When the short-term blessings are lost, when there's not material gain, but when we know that we can live at peace with our conscience, and we know that we can uphold morality and develop our character because we're being faithful to God and we're going to live a life of faith. Moses had as many or more temptations than you and I have. And he fell for some of those temptations at various times, as you and I do. But as he looked at his life, he could see down the track to what God wanted him to do. He could understand the blessings of a life of faith. And that's what God wants you and I to see. To see with spiritual eyes what it means to live trusting God for the eternal rewards. For they are far, far greater than any reward we'll see here on earth. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for a man like Moses, whom you saw fit to include in your word, who was crucial in the leading of your people to the land of promise. We thank you for all that you did through him. We thank you for what we learned from his life. As we saw his failures, we could identify with those. As we saw his decision to return back to you and not to give up, Lord, may we take hold of that principle as well. As he looked beyond the desert of Sinai towards the promised land, he could see the blessings of promise that you had given him. And then as he stood on the top of Mount Nebo and looked out over that land and knew that he wasn't going to move into that land, he could see even greater promises and greater blessing and greater reward because you're going to take him to be with yourself. And so as we live in this life, help us to keep those eyes of spiritual vision before us, Lord, that we might not get caught up in just the temporary, just the material, just the present, but that we might be able to look down the road beyond the fork and see the blessing of the reward, the greater treasures that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that you give us your word to keep prompting us to look beyond the here and the now and to see what is ahead. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us to lift our vision, prompts us to escape the allurement of sin and to look towards those great treasures that you have as part of the reward for those who live a life of faith. We commit our lives to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.